Welcome to the Tradies in Business podcast with your hosts, Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Divert your phone and grab a brew as Waz and Nick unpack tips, tales, secrets and stuff-ups from guests both inside and outside your trade, helping educate and inspire you to break the cycle of gut-busting and money stress and create a true trade business.
Hey, Waz.
Hey, Nick.
I never get to start these, so I'm just jumping in there on a Friday afternoon.
I'm going to let you jump in.
Thanks. So we've got an interesting guest today. Now you're leaving me hanging.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to shut up.
A couple of weeks ago, we spoke to a different guest that I met in the same circumstance.
You've just been bringing all these young men to the podcast, Coxie.
I know. Young, handsome men on the podcast. That's not terrible.
Wow.
No, we met a bunch at a Christmas party.
That doesn't sound like the start of a very good story for your image.
Well, you know, we left really early, so it's not so bad. We were well behaved.
There's generally only one reason people leave parties early.
Because they were asked to move along.
Oh, okay. That's the other reason. Yes. I was thinking of a different reason.
No.
Today's chat was...
Poor Andre. Now we've pulled him into this rubbish. Typical Friday afternoon.
So we chat to an import today.
We do.
Yeah.
With a great passion.
He's just picked up his citizenship, so he's now an honorary Australian. But young bloke with a lot of passion, doing some really cool stuff in the industry and some really cool stuff with job seekers, like younger job seekers especially, to help them get a start. And it's one of the things that I think a lot of people who have maybe entered the trades later in life or out of school... If you don't have experience, it can be really hard to get a start. And if you don't get a start, it's really hard to get experience.
Of course. And we might get a little ranty about that at one point.
But Andre is actually working with people entering, I guess, a new career, but especially in the trades. He's doing a lot of work with them to actually give them a leg up and equip them to be more able to get a start and actually sort of stand out from the crowd. So, yeah, really interesting guy. He doesn't come from a trade background.
No.
But he's just seen this gap in the market, I guess, and come up with a solution to it, which is what all great businesses are about, really.
And all through a passion, which is something you and I really appreciate.
Yeah, we like having guests on here who give us stuff about the people that they work with. And Andre's very passionate. He's a pretty funny guy. And he's a little delusional. He thinks football is played with a round ball. But, we let that one slide.
Like the good host we are.
And at one point, I think he got confused as well. He thought he was the podcast host and started asking us questions.
I think he dented your ego there a bit.
I don't have an ego anymore. I shot it in the head years ago. But no, great chat. And I'm pretty keen to chat with Andre some more for Tradies in Business, through the Facebook group and everything else. So keep an ear out for that. We might actually get in touch with him and do something bigger and better with this young man with a plan. Righto, we're chatting with Andre McLaughlin from Job Search Queensland, and that is a snappy background. Andre, welcome to the podcast, mate.
Yeah, I'm stoked to be here, so thank you. I appreciate your time. So
you can't be half as excited as I am.
He says he's stoked, but he hasn't actually been on the interview for long enough to know whether he should or shouldn't be stoked.
And you haven't listened to some of your friends' interviews either, I might add. You might all be singing a very different tune in a week or two.
So now, Coxie, is Andre another one of the young guys that you hit up at your husband's Christmas party?
He is. There was a few. I'm sorry, I might have tarted myself.
How long is the list?
It's pretty long.
So were you cougaring or catfishing or whatever the heck it is?
Oh, it's catfishing Tradies in Business.
Catfishing, right. Okay. Andre, thanks for your time today, mate, especially on a Friday afternoon. Like this is
dedication.
Unheard of time of day to actually be focused and sounding intelligent, mate. So see how you go.
I'll try my best.
Yeah. Mate, tell our listeners a bit about who you are and how did you get to be so successful that you're on the Tradies in Business podcast, mate?
So I guess I'll probably start from a little bit about me. So I've been in Australia for about 11 years. I originally moved over for an Aussie girl, so we met over in London. So like, her name's like Sam. We spent a couple of years there, like together. So 2008. So she was on a working holiday visa. I was selling buy-to-let and commercial finance to property investors. I was made redundant due to the GFC. And I remember at the time she was like, do you want to come to Australia? Because I need to go back. And I was like, not really. I don't want to go. What do you mean? And I said, look, well, if I go to Australia, I'm probably going to end up dying. She's like, I don't understand you. So very ignorant of me, but I thought Australia was like, basically like the Opera House.
Yep.
And movie Crocodile Dundee. So
I don't think you're alone in that thought process.
Yeah, so I basically said to her, look, I'm going to die if I come over because you guys got sharks, snakes, spiders, and I've heard that you drop bears a lot. Very, very bad.
Oh, they're impressive.
But what happened, I came for a holiday, so I went to the sunny coast, Gold Coast, and just, yeah, fell in love with the place. And I can't understand why more people don't want to live here. Well, I can because it's quite far away from most of the world, but it's just...
We like it that way, mate. keeps the tourists out.
Well, I feel extremely grateful. And probably about 2 months ago, I was lucky enough to get my Australian citizenship.
Good on you, mate.
So, welcome. So I'm Aussie now. But I guess like going back, I was born in a place called Chiswick, so West London. When I was about 3 years old, I moved down to a place called Basingstoke, which is an hour south of London. That's where I spent like most of my time sort of growing up. Was really big into sport, so love playing football. So when I say football, I mean
the round ball.
Football, yeah.
Love sport growing up. I was only child until about 12, until I was about 12, 13. So I've got a little brother who is, I think he's about 26, so you guys can try and work out. through schooling, went to, I didn't really know when I finished school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I went to college, studied business studies, psychology, general studies. And I actually spent 3 years at college instead of two. Mm-hmm. Probably not responsible. And then after college, so I applied to do business studies at Bournemouth University. I got a letter back from the uni saying that your grades are not high enough to get into this course. It's really competitive. So we've got another course, which is Business Information Systems Management. So I was like, oh, okay, great. It's got business. It's got management. You know, so it sounds like a great course, but it was basically an IT course, like databases, SQL, just...
Woo.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy it. But I actually failed my second year.
Yeah.
And that was due to, I guess, a lot of sort of like partying. You know.
As you do.
As you do when you're in an IT course and you want to be.
And, you know, like living away from home. So that was like the first time. And I basically moved home, transferred to London Metropolitan Uni, where I studied multimedia technology and applications. So that's more sort of like creative.
Yeah.
So like website design and like animation and things like that. So I enjoyed that a lot more.
Mm.
And it was easier. And actually where the stadium was, so I'm a very big like football fan. So where the uni was, it was right next door to Highbury, to Arsenal's. So Arsenal's my team,
right.
to their stadium. It was great. So I'd always like get to go to the games and everything. But after finishing uni, I really didn't want to get into like IT, and I probably wasn't the best sort of student.
missed your calling there, mate. It's okay.
Big time. Got into real estate. So I was kind of like searching, what can I do where you know, what are the sort of the careers that can make a lot of money? And I think when I was looking down the list, there was like real estate, I think a car salesperson, like doctors, lawyers, all that. And I gave real estate a go. So I've done that for probably about 3 years and moved into buy-to-let and commercial finance. And then, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's my sort of journey. And then since I've been in Australia, the roles that I've had have been predominantly recruitment and sales.
Yeah, cool, man.
So you're speaking my language, and we may have touched on this a bit when we were talking as a mother of lots of teenagers, but one particularly left school this year.
Eshays and lads,
yes. Just got their ears pierced, so they look like real eshays and lads now. But, you know, they often leave school. Kids often leave school not knowing what they want to do. And for one in particular, I thought he might want to be a tradie, but he's had this epiphany whilst at schoolies, of all places to have an epiphany, that he might like to actually try sales. He doesn't want to be in the trades. He wants to try sales.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It is really different.
Know why he wants to try sales?
Probably because his mother's told him 100 times he's got the gift of the gab and he can read a room well and he should really move into that. He, like you were languaging before, there's wank word alert. Sorry. Like you were saying before, he just wants to make a lot of money. That's his goal in life, to make a lot of money. He'll obviously figure out at some point in time that's not going to make him happy. But for now, his big goal is to make a lot of money, and he understands that sometimes through sales you can make a lot of money. So for him, he's really been on this big emotional journey in the last couple of weeks to find – he's found a sales job. He starts in January, which is really exciting for him. But
what's he doing? Sorry, what's he doing?
He'll be selling floor coverings. So we happen to have a neighbour who can help us, and she was very keen to do so because he's a good kid.
I need to make my pun again.
Oh, come on, go on.
Well, he's going to get laid every week.
Oh, he'll be a very happy teenage boy that morning.
Oh, I'm such a child.
Oh, he's going to love this episode. So, but that's my point, right? We come out of school, we don't always know what we want to do. Some kids have really got a defined path, and it's generally a uni path, or there are some kids that come out, like one of our elder boys was always going to be a tradie. He was always going to be a tradie. He hasn't actually found the right apprenticeship for him because he's still not sure which trade he wants to move into. But for most kids heading to uni, they have a pretty defined path. The other kids don't. And they don't know where to go or what to do, and there's not a lot of support for them after school, which is a big reason why we're talking to you today, Andre.
So I guess like with my day job, so I work for Blue Dog Training. So my role is sort of industry engagement, industry liaison. So there's lots of different verticals to that role. And part of it is helping students that are in, say, year 11 or year 12, matching them up with our employers. So really the best talent. I work with anyone that I can to help them, but kind of matching the best employers with the best talent. But a lot of the other, so I think we've got probably about 2,500 students in year 11 and year 12, construction engineering. But there's so many. So when I go into the schools and do presentations and workshops, there's so many just, I don't blame them because I know I was like that at that age, but I just don't have a clue.
No.
I wonder how many of us actually know what we want to do when we're 16, 17 years old.
43. I still don't know what I want to do. Bumping around, making shit up.
But like this is a Tuesday episode, so I'll keep it reasonably family oriented. But for the blokes, like most of us, our voices haven't cracked yet.
Yeah,
and we don't even have hair growing in our armpits. How the freaking hell are you supposed to choose like a lifetime career at 16 years of age? I think the system is a bit busted in that respect, and you know, we're still kids, and making these decisions that have the potential to impact us for the next 10, 20, 60 years. And sadly, we see a lot of people in the trades that almost, you know, not so much that they don't want to do it now, but it just kind of happened that way. You know, they just ended up doing something because something was better than nothing, but it wasn't really thought through. And I get the feeling we're going to have a conversation about that with you today, Andre, about, you know, making it more of a conscious choice.
Yeah. So do you guys, I guess question for you, do you feel that there's a lot I guess, like, mature age.
Hang on. I'm not used to being asked questions on our podcast, Andre. I don't know how you do things over in England, mate, but you're an Australian now, buddy.
Oh, Warwick. Hitch up your skirt, darling. It'll be all right.
No, it's good. I like it. Do you want to go on?
I was going to say, if you guys find that there's more, younger people coming through, or is it more people that they go away, they, you know, try a few different things and then they come back and then do a trade?
So that's actually a really interesting question. And I would say, from my perspective, mostly it's younger guys. You get the occasional sort of 30, 35. But for the most part, it's
about my age.
Yeah, right. Younger kids. But interestingly, speaking to one of your colleagues last week, he pointed out that a lot of what he was dealing with was more mature age, which is just probably a side we haven't necessarily seen. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I probably see, and again, it's only through my lens, is mostly younger guys and some girls going into the trades, you know, even if they've had a couple of gap years mucking around or travelling overseas, or, you know, working a barista job or a barman or something like that, or barmaid, whatever the right term is these days.
Bar person. Bar staff.
Barkeep. There you go. That's better. but, yeah, you know, it's mostly the new entrances to the trades are school leavers, there or thereabouts, with a smattering of slightly wiser people, my ilk, that, you know, have a like 30-something crisis and go, I'm going to be a tradie.
So, it's certainly not a foreign story.
No. So what are you saying, Andre?
Well, I was going to say that because when I go out and visit my employers just to find out, the type of person or talent that they're looking for, a lot of them do prefer, kids that have, left school and that have been out of school for maybe 2-3 years. They've had a bit of life experience. They've tried a few things. They've maybe got a car loan or a bit of debt, and they're like, okay, right, I need to buckle down and make something of my life or achieve something.
It certainly is a different mindset for them at that point, isn't it? You know, when you've got debt and bills to pay every week, or you're living out of home or something, there's a real motivator to get up and go to work.
Yeah, definitely.
So, can I ask you a question, Andre? Is that all right?
Of course. Yeah.
So, you work for Blue Dog Training, obviously, and then you have this snazzy background, which Coxie and I have to get our own version.
Yeah, I want mine.
We need a fan wall. No, you don't get to sit in front of it, mate. but we've got to get our own fan wall thing.
We do.
That's it.
Paparazzi wall.
My life won't be complete. But it says Job Search Queensland, mate. That's your gig, obviously.
Yeah. So I guess I've been working on originally I came up for the idea about a year and a half ago. So, we'll go back to, I guess, like my recruitment day. So I used to work for a company called Michael Page. Mm-hmm. And part of my role, or the way to get to know like your market that you work in, is going through lots of different job advertisements, find out who's recruiting, and then you get on the phone and then make the calls, and then you're trying to recruit those roles for them. But a way to track that information, I used to put it into a spreadsheet just to see what was going on. And then when I went to Blue Dog, so my role at Blue Dog was it was a new role. And so I've basically done the same thing for construction engineering opportunities, school-based and first year. And I put that into an Excel spreadsheet, and then I'd send that out to about 75 schools. And the feedback that I was getting was that this is, it's just amazing. And I think because I was doing a lot of the hard work for them, so the idea came, if I was getting such good feedback, doing that on a wider scale for all different industries. So originally Job Search Queensland was called iStrato. Don't ask me about that.
How many beers did it take to come up with that name, mate?
Yeah, it was funny. So I was talking to a business mentor, and she was asking me, she was like, so where did that name come from? And it took me about 10 minutes to kind of explain or to kind of, I guess, wing it, that it's like different layers and you're peeling off the layers. And she was like, mate, get rid of it.
Breaks every marketing rule in the book. It's like three words to tell people what you do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so so that's where the idea came from. So I thought I'd do it for different industries. Originally, it was just a job search engine or a job search aggregator. And then over like the past year, I was thinking like how I can have sort of like more, I guess, more of an impact. So how it is now, it's like different verticals. So you've got a job search aggregator that focuses on school-based apprenticeships, first-year apprenticeships, internships, and volunteering like, opportunities, mm-hmm. and traineeships as well. Then you've got resume templates, so free templates that that people can download.
Oh, hallelujah.
And also pre-filled like templates where those are, you pay for those, but yep. you just change a few details. And this is the bit that I'm really excited about is online practice interviews. So say for instance, if say like your son or daughter wanted to have, say if they had an interview coming up, they can just book in, say with me or someone else, for 10, 15 minutes. We do an interview, it'd be recorded, and I'd give them like verbally like some feedback that they can work on. If they wanted a longer session, then they pay for an hour. Also, there's employment stats. So all the jobs that I've, the information that I've collated, I've put that into, data graphs, so you can actually kind of see what's like real time, what's going on in the employment market for, young people and say immigrants and like the unemployed. So really, I just want to help people just get a kickstart in their career.
I love this on so many levels, but particularly as a mum with kids that are trying to find their feet and find a job and a way in a direction. And kids don't always relate well to their parents. And sure, I've got the experience, but you know, my kids don't want to sit down and do a practice interview with me. They just don't. What would I know? Seriously, I don't have a clue. But to think that I can find, there's this space that I can organise that to happen for my kids so that they walk into that interview with a little bit of confidence. And I think what you're doing is mentoring these kids through their process till they get where they need to be, which as a parent is really exciting because they've come out of, and particularly kids coming out of school leavers, they've come out of school where they've had their hands held that whole time, and the day they walk out of school, all the support disappears. And I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. How do I make this decision? Sure, they come to us as parents and ask, but again, they don't really like what we're telling them. So to have somewhere that they can go, to have someone to guide them through that process, who I know, because I know you, is actually passionate about the helping people and just so happens to have found a way to do that, that you can turn into a business for yourself. But it's the passion of helping them and mentoring them through that process and assisting them to get where they need to be, which actually even helps the employers because they end up with the right candidates. It's just an amazing system. It's an absolute no-brainer. I don't understand why it hasn't been done. I'm sure it's been done on a lesser level many times before. But for me, it's your passion to help that really makes your business stand out from all the others?
Because I'm at the schools quite a lot over the school year, and I do a lot of mock interviews with the students, and a lot of them don't really have like a clue about, I guess, like how to like present themselves, how to even like introduce themselves, like smile, like handshake, eye contact. It's just little tiny things that I just need coaching. And it's funny like how many, well, it's not funny, but it's like how many are just so scared and fearful when you're just doing like a practice interview. I've had quite a few people that have just broken down and just started crying just because they're so anxious and stressed about the process. So
I could go on for hours about how much I think is missing from this generation. And you know, perhaps I'm I've contributed.
Cranky old bat.
Yeah, I sound like it nowadays, don't I? Don't tell Andre that. He thought I was a nice person until this interview.
He just felt sorry for you, him out at your husband's Christmas party.
He felt sorry for me being married to my husband. No. You know, now I've lost my train of thought. Where is it going?
Mm. I don't have it.
It's the end of the day.
Yeah. You think there's a lot missing in the industry?
No, I think in kids in general. You know, when I had my first job at 13. In fact, I was babysitting long before that. So I built those skills really quickly and quite easily. It was never scary for me. Sure, it was a little intimidating, but, you know, it's just part of being a child. So many kids don't even have jobs when they're at school anymore because there's so much pressure to get the good grades, and then that doesn't work and we set up this lifestyle of anxiety and stress and too much is going on. So I think there's a bit to be that I personally feel responsible for. I think my generation is responsible for. So I'm not surprised when you tell me there are kids that are breaking down because it's just so overwhelming for them. This is the stuff we should be teaching in schools and we don't.
Mm. And there's a big difference between the kids that do have a part-time job compared to the ones that don't, because they're so much more like confident because they're able to engage and interact with like customers and clients. But
I totally agree.
So I have another question.
Oh, are you sure?
I thought I'd participate in this podcast. So I think we acknowledge that there is a gap, you know, it's probably harder. Well, it seems to me, looking backwards now, it's harder for young people to get work while they're at school. Everyone's busier, you know, the world is changing, a lot of stuff has moved to online. You can't just get a job at your local bakery because there's more of us and there's less bakeries. But I guess it's the old thing of if no one will give you a go, how the heck do you get the confidence and the skills? And I guess part of the solution is your business, Andre, and what you're doing. But I'm curious to get your perspective, mate, on like how do we change this, particularly as a construction and trades industry? How do we actually change this cycle?
That is a very good question. I think we probably just need to give as much support. I think we need to be doing like more, for the kids and like for the next generation. So I guess in school, so in years maybe 9, 10, 11. So I guess like people such as myself, you know, going into schools and just, you know, just running sessions and, I guess like employability sessions and just say kids have got confidence. So what I love, it's very rare, is that a lot of the kids nowadays, so if they're applying for a job, they'll just go onto their computer or their mobile phone and they'll be like, oh, I've applied to like 10 jobs. But there's other kids that were actually get up off their ass. Excuse my language.
No, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know, walk to Coles, walk to the supermarket, work with news agents. They'll be like face to face with the potential employer, and they'll hand over their resume. And I think 9 out of 10 times they might not have an opportunity right there and then, but because the employer has actually seen them face to face, then when an opportunity comes up within a couple of weeks or a couple of months, then they might be the first person that they call. They're like, "Oh, who was that? Who was that young person that came in? I'll jump on the phone."
I just want to say to that, that's the way we got our jobs. You know, all of us did that kind of stuff. But employers are really closed off to that opportunity now. And I feel that we've got to bring that back to the employers and make them start thinking about where they're finding their staff. So, for example, you know, with so many teenagers, they're all constantly looking for a job. BCF recently advertised that they had positions vacant. Of course, it's going to be a high applicant job because it's a sought after one, particularly in our area. There were 400 applicants. We didn't know there was a job advertised. So my son walked in with a resume and said, "Can I leave my resume? My name's so-and-so and I'm looking for a job." And the guy at the counter said, "Actually, we're not allowed to take resumes over the counter. The only way you can apply for a job here is to apply online." Now, I certainly don't see that in the trades, but I do see it in a lot of bigger employers now. The only way to apply is to do it online. Sometimes somebody will take your resume, but they're doing it more because you're there in front of them and they haven't learnt yet how to say, "No, we don't take them." Do you know what I mean? So what I'm trying to say is I think that as employees, we get too focused on outcomes for the business rather than sometimes being focused on the outcome for us as a person and how good it feels to help a kid get a start. Or, you know, kids, you finish school, you do not have the opportunity to have experience when you finish school. You've just had experience in schooling. So I can't walk into a sales job, or I can't walk into, you know, where there are jobs like fashion shops where they wanted 12 months minimum sales experience for a Just Jeans. Or do you know what I mean? Like,
no way.
So how is a kid meant to get that experience is if we're not prepared to say, come on in, let's have a go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you a trial for 3 months and see whether you start to pick up some of the key elements that you need. So to your point, I think it's really important. Kids have got to get out and give it a go. It's going to build that self-confidence that they need. But I think as employers, we all also need to start looking at how we're finding our employees, what opportunities we're giving. Is there space in our business to allow a traineeship or an apprenticeship or another way for or a pathway for a kid to come through?
So do you know what? So I think the stats are... how like 38% of people in Australia find opportunities are through family and friends or friends. So I know sometimes it's not about what you know, it's about who you know.
Yes.
So I think that's probably the first place that people should start. So to leverage off like who they know.
Yeah, yeah. And be willing to actually put themselves out there and I guess to go back to that question, I mean, what could the schools and parents even be doing, Andre, to help start to change this with the younger people coming through?
I don't know, it probably comes from the top down, so maybe like educating like the parents. And I find that there's sorry, I might be going off on a tangent.
We never do that.
I noticed from going out to the schools and going to public schools and private schools, there's a huge, huge difference. I feel sorry for, I guess, like the schools that come from or like the areas where there's low socioeconomic, because it's just generational unemployment. And I think like who you're surrounded by is extremely, extremely important. So. Mm.
What's,
I'm sorry, go back to you.
No. I got another question, funnily enough. So what's some of the good news stories that you've seen, Andre? Like you know, almost a case study, but in the work that you're doing.
There's been quite a few. So I won't mention like any names, so probably about a year ago, we'll just call this kid Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andrew was studying a Cert 2 in engineering, but he really wanted to become a cabinet maker.
Mm.
From doing the course, he had sort of learning difficulties. So, with the great practically with practical hand skills. But on the theory side of things, he'd find it very, very challenging.
Mm.
So what we were able to do is organise for a work trial for him. So I think he'd done probably a week during the school holidays. Extremely nervous, extremely anxious. And he's one of those kids where you'll be trying to have a conversation and it'll just be drawing blood out of a stone. But I guess the nicest feeling is when he's actually he was really successful at the work trial, and then they took him on to a school-based apprenticeship. So the company's in Stafford, and it's been a bit of a sort of rocky road because he's because of the theory. Mm. Like sometimes I'm not sure if he's got dyslexia, but he'll need to be told things a few times. Mm-hmm. But what I love is that the company kind of understands, so they're working with him to get this outcome. They understand that I guess our generation and his generation are just. Miles apart.
So much has changed in the time between us and them, really, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Look at us today. We're creating a podcast. There was no such thing. We're using laptops and computers and one of these things called iPads and talking across the internet. What the hell was even the internet? You know, and our kids are having to cope with this new way of doing things. And us as parents, I recently heard that this is the first generation of parents that are having to educate kids in stuff they know nothing about, stuff we've never done before. So I've never grown up as a teenager with the internet. I don't understand it. I don't understand the pressure. I'm pretty savvy with this stuff. But having not experienced that myself, I can't educate my kids around it with a knowing. I can only educate around it with an awareness. Whereas previously, our parents grew up in similar times to us. Sure, they either had more money or less money or the situation was slightly different, but they had that same lived experience that we then went on to have. Whereas our generation and this next generation, it's very different, totally different. Yeah. And as parents, it's hard for us to buffer their way through that because we don't really have a full understanding of what it's like to live in their position. Not that I'm ever going to tell my kids that. It's an interesting time. So it does create some challenges of which you're able to fill by helping buffer that way through this employment process with them. So another thing that I love is the whole template idea. So, you know, with my background, I can certainly knock up a resume, but it's not necessarily the current way to do it.
So, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, to have an option to be able to have, especially the pre-fill stuff, that is brilliant. So it becomes what the employers are looking for in the first place. That's that, you know, it's another way to support kids, isn't it? Finding their way through.
Giving the tools.
Yeah. What was it that made you realize that that was something that was missing?
Oh, it's probably because I was doing it every day, and the resumes that I'd get from kids from students, because I know most of them, a lot of the time that they haven't done a resume, and I believe that in year 10 they'll have an English class, and that's when they'll produce their first resume, and a lot of them need some work. I thought it's because sometimes it can be quite stressful just having to create a resume from scratch. So if you've got a template and you can just amend it to to yourself, then it'll just make things a lot easier. And I know that when I was a lot younger, I'm sure I got a template from somewhere, and then over the years it's just changed
They're certainly very different now to the ones. Well, I don't think my first job was at Woolworths. Big plug for Woolies. And I don't believe we had resumes. It was who you knew. And my dad knew somebody in the fruit and veg department. Next thing I knew, I was a checkout chick. That's how I got my start.
I could lift heavy things, so I got a job filling shelves at the grocery store.
Did you really?
Yep, that was it.
What was your first job, Andre?
Macca's.
Yeah, good. They're great employers.
We didn't have a Macca's where I lived.
I'm going to leave that one alone, Nicole.
It's because there wasn't as many as there are now. There seems to be quite a few fast food stores around the place these days.
That's true. KFC
Where were you brought up?
I grew up on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and we had to drive about 35 minutes to get to the one McDonald's, which was the one McDonald's in about, it would have been probably 40K radius.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
So I grew up in Redcliffe and we had all of it. And we were, you know, you go up to Caboolture and there was more, or over to Sandgate or Deegan and there was more.
The Sunshine Coast was a bit smaller back then.
It was a big country.
It was not in the 90s.
No.
Or the 80s.
But anyway, we digress. We don't ever go off on a tangent.
Yeah. So, Andre, future. Future for Job Search Queensland, for Andre the Great, like what's the future hold for you?
Yeah, so my vision is that I want to help impact 100,000 people over the next 3 years by 2023. So what I'd love, or what I want to happen, or what will happen, is to be able to have webinars, workshops, and events. So there can actually be more sort of human connection and contact, and that I can work with people and then grow a team. So at the moment it's myself and I employed a VA/computer programmer called Millicent, and she's been, it's so funny because when she came on board I was like, oh, I've done the so my website's completely changed over about 4 or 5 times. And I was like, oh, can you do like an audit for me and, you know, just like have a look on, you know, what we can improve. And like, she came back with like a long list, like the appearance, like things on the back end. And like gradually she's changing everything. And I know that probably my ego, because sometimes I think that I can do everything, but it's taken me a lot longer. But she's she's been like a godsend. So, but yeah, so hopefully, grow that team, as soon as possible. So.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to be cheering on the sidelines for you every step of the way. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited by your vision and what you're doing. Especially, you know, at this time of my life, it's very important to me to see people doing the things that you're doing, helping kids, helping people, full stop, find a way. Because I feel it's really lacking, especially in the holistic way in which I think you're doing it. So anyway, I'm fangirling now.
Yeah, you're swooning a bit. Stop. Professionally swooning. So I have a question, Andre, another one. It's my question.
It's a $1 million question.
Yeah. So, mate, if you had 1,000 tradies in a room, what's one piece of advice or one thing you would like to say to them?
1,000. That's a great question. 1,000 tradies in a room. I'd probably say, because I know with a lot of tradies or a lot of guys, they suffer from like depression and mental health. So I'd probably say something like, if you are struggling, don't be afraid to, I just like to speak up. So many people are like really supportive. So if you've got like friends, or if the people that you feel that you can't speak to, there's lots of other sort of organizations out there that can help. So be yourself, and then if you need help, just please get help.
Love
it. Cool, mate. And I have a bonus question, Andre.
Oh, look out.
Yeah.
How long before you convert and actually follow real football?
That's loaded.
Like
footy. Hang on a moment though, but what do you determine to be real football? There's so many codes. So which game are you talking about?
Well, I was trying to goad him into saying what real football was.
Come on. What's your version?
The AFL or rugby league or rugby union or?
Well, it depends which side of the street you went to school on, it's league or union, and then generally AFL would mostly be a Southerners kind of sport, although it's that's changing now.
Well, is it?
Well, there's a lot of
as a lone AFL supporter in Queensland, I don't feel it's changing at all.
In terms of numbers, it's really a Southerners and a Melbourne and Adelaide type sport. So,
but you grew up on AFL too, didn't you?
No, right. No, league. Dad's from Sydney. It was a leaguey.
Though most kids, I'm sure I heard this, that most kids in school play
soccer.
They football. Do. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely they do.
Yeah, it's frightening, isn't it?
It is.
We're being invaded.
And
it's like they sent us here as convicts and now they're coming and taking the country over again.
Because they realise what a nice place it is to live.
They went to the Gold Coast and sunshine. The Sunny Coast. It's like, holy crap, this place is awesome. Anyway, that's enough of my garbage.
I know. We've really gone down a few rabbit warrens.
Andre, if people have listened to this and gone, geez, I want to find out more about this bloke, Job Search in particular, where should they go to find out more about you, mate?
Yeah, so you can go to like Facebook. So I've actually converting my old Facebook page from Australia to Job Search Queensland, so I'm going through that process. So you can go onto their Job Search QLD, also Instagram Job Search QLD. Also, you can like friend me on like Facebook as well, or even like follow me on LinkedIn. If anyone's got any questions, ideas, strategies, if like, any partnerships, then I'm all ears and like willing to do as much as I can.
But we'll have to get Job Search New South Wales and Job Search Victoria and Job Search South Australia.
You're going to be exhausted, Andre.
He's only 20 or something. He's very young.
I wish. Yeah.
I was trying to do the maths before. Mate, it's been awesome to chat.
Thank you.
I've been inspired by your fan wall behind you, so that's something I got out of today's episode.
You guys have got one as well. Yeah.
It's a piddly little thing.
It's a bit more. Come on, I put a lot of thought into that printing.
It's little.
So, mate, thanks for your time today. Been great to chat to you. Good bit of banter. And I expect we'll see a lot more of you and Job Search Queensland in the not-too-distant future, mate. There's a big need for it. So thanks for everything you do, mate.
Thanks, awesome. Andre.
Awesome.
You've been listening to the Tradies in Business podcast with Warwick Bidwell and Nicole Cox. Find out more about today's guest, tools for your trade business, and other cool stuff at tradiesinbusiness.com.au.